And welcome back to United Masterclass, a tactical podcast about Manchester United. I'm your host, Hayley Rabani, and I'm joined, as always, by Rob Blanchett. Rob, United are on the brink of Champions League football next season. Very professional 1-0 win at Bournemouth. Liverpool drew 1-1 at home to Villa. So United only need one point from two games to secure top four. Job nearly done, Rob. But we can't celebrate yet because, you know, if you don't win those two games, Liverpool sneaking ahead of you, but United should win at least one of those games.
Yep, no celebrating until the fat lady properly sings her heart out. So that is what you got to do, yeah? Don't kind of wait for this. Man United fans have been waiting, haven't they, for a while, saying, oh, we're top four, while Newcastle have been bobbing above us and below us, and Tottenham have been getting closer and falling away. And now, obviously, we've got Liverpool close. But, of course, Liverpool drew that game yesterday. It was a massive result for Man United away from us. Very unlucky that Firmino gets that goal. You know, this would be a very different kind of vibe at the moment because it would be a we made the Champions League top four show. But lots to talk about Bournemouth. United went there against a Bournemouth team that have played really well the last few weeks but have essentially gone on holiday. So Bournemouth have done everything they wanted to do. And I think you did see that yesterday. Some of the football from the South Coast was very much like, let's cruise both teams and let's not. It's a sunny day. Bournemouth, I think, has more sun than any town in the UK every year. It's a hot place to live. So you saw yesterday that kind of affected the pace of the game. But also, Man United have been playing with a much slower pace the last few weeks. All that matters, Haydar, is that you're professional, you get a goal, you get a clean sheet, job done.
Absolutely. I think United are very lucky they're playing two teams that don't really have anything to play for. Chelsea, I mean, horrible season, nothing to play for. United should be rolling them over easily. On Thursday night, obviously touch wood and I don't jinx it. And then Fulham as well. Fulham haven't really got much to play, but I think United, they've done really well the last couple of games. There was a hiccup with the loss against, West Ham, the loss against Brighton as well. It could have easily gone the other way, but I think they've shown good resolve to come back. And when you have a look at it as well, United haven't played midweek, have they? So having that extra bit of rest seems to have helped the players as well. And there were some good performances, professional performances. And ultimately, United finished the season with one trophy. We don't know what's going to happen in the FA Cup. Potentially, City look ominous. But United can definitely, stop the treble. And it's great to have it in our own hands. I was saying this to someone the other day that for too many times over the past few years, we're hoping Liverpool or someone else end it. But, the best thing, I think, for United is that it's in their own hands. They can stop City winning the treble. And I think that is great to be in contention for something at the end of the season. It's been too many seasons where we haven't been. But let's look at the agenda. So we'll talk about the usuals today. We'll talk about the formation and the match stats and the facts. We'll talk about Casemiro's goal as well. Fantastic finish from our Brazilian defensive midfielder. Eriksen as well, improved performance. Then we'll talk about Sancho versus Garnacho. I think that's an important conversation that a lot of people are having at the minute. And we'll touch on that. Then we'll also talk Martial versus Weghorst, explain why it was the case that Martial did come off. And then we'll talk about David De Gea as well. Has his critics won the Golden Glove, which is a great achievement for him and for the defensive duo of Martinez and Varane all season. So they've been fantastic. As always, you can follow us on Man United MC and Rob on @_Rob_B. Guys, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you turn those notifications on. There's going to be a lot of great shows coming up. And make sure you have a look at the show I did with Joe Fischetti from the Forza Napoli podcast. And this was the one on Kim Min-jae. Fantastic player, exciting player who United are very, very interested in. And he could be here next season. Rob, let's talk about the formation and selection. So this is from SofaScore. And as you can see, United went for 4-2-3-1, let's say. Really, the team that I expected to see. No Marcus Rashford, which was big. So we saw Jadon Sancho get another opportunity on that left-hand side. I think that surprised a few people, especially with Garnacho's great performance and his short cameo the other week. But I think it was an opportunity for him to try and stake a claim and try to impress Ten Hag. You saw Wan-Bissaka, who's secured that right-back spot now with Varane. Lindelof, who's had great performances. And Luke Shaw, great to see him back again at that left-back position. He's really is one of United's most important attacking assets. Casemiro and Eriksen in midfield, United's first-choice midfield. Bruno, Anthony, Sancho, and then Anthony Martial up top. So what were your thoughts on the selection? Pretty straightforward. Was there anything that you would have done differently? I'm assuming you might have thought maybe Garnacho coming in. But generally speaking, with all the injury, let's say the injuries we have got, Martinez out, and Sabitzer and people like that, this is probably United's strongest 11 going forward to the end of the season.
Yeah, and I said on the Promised Land, play your strongest 11. So, like, what you've just said there, I think, is exactly what I agree with. Garnacho, obviously, great form coming off the bench last week and doing the job for us. But I still do think that you should be relying on the players that you've spent 70, 80, 90 million on. You know, this is their job. This is the business end of the season. They should be your starters. And if they don't do the job, then you pull them. And that's the right way of doing it. I think with the selection, I'm not surprised at all. I think you don't really get much choice in terms of if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, that Bruno is your best number 10, your best two other midfielders are Eriksen and Casemiro. And as it stands, Anthony Martial is probably your most all-rounded number 9. So no surprises here. I think with what's the surprise maybe is that Ten Hag has gone back to picking his strongest team, which is the right thing to do. That's how he should do it. But in recent weeks, he's tried to flit around and change a few bits and bobs. And what's happened? You've got to this point in the season and you haven't finished the job. So he might have done better by just playing his best team in recent weeks. And this might be all over with now. We might even not be talking about Chelsea or Fulham upcoming. But I was pleased to see this team. I think the fact that United are now playing not a mid-block, but certainly a lot slower than we've seen all season long is a reflection of maybe the fatigue levels. What you saw yesterday in the South Coast, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, it was really hot, a proper hot day. You think some of these players are Brazilians, et cetera, Portuguese players should know what hot weather is. There's no problem. But they are used to playing in much cooler climates in the Premier League. So to be able to do a counter press or something like that is difficult. United didn't really do any counter pressing or any pressing of any sort until Weghorst came on in kind of the 70-odd minute, and that was the right time to do it. So I like the shape. United had good control over the game. I think the issue really comes still with the creative elements. So United didn't really create a lot of good chances. They had chances, but they were soft and they were slow. And this is where I always put the onus on. Bruno is your 10. He has to make that creative chances. And if he doesn't make it, then it has to be Eriksen. And I think yesterday, Eriksen, obviously, he plays that final ball to Casemiro. He doesn't get the assist because obviously there was a touch in there which lets the ball sit up nicely for Casemiro's overhead kick. But if Eriksen doesn't make that pass, Haidar, you don't win this game. It's 0-0. And again, this becomes a totally different conversation.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Bruno didn't have a great game yesterday. I know it says here, 7.8. To be honest with you, he frustrated me yesterday. He was a little bit rash with the ball, but Eriksen stepped up really, really well. Something I do want to say as well, Rob, is that I think United controlled, like you said, they were in control of the game. I think they were quite patient in the final third. And I agree with you, we didn't really create much, which is quite funny because when you have a look at the attempts, there were 20 attempts on goal. I can't remember 20 attempts on goal, 15 from open play. Obviously, the conversion was only 5%. And then United did limit Bournemouth to 10 shots. Yeah. I thought Bournemouth had some of the better chances, really, when you think about the game. De Gea made quite a few big saves. But when you have a look at it, what United did do well, which they haven't done for a while, I think they had good, sustained, patient pressure in the final third. So what do I mean by that? I thought that they passed the ball around nicely. I think they're a bit more patient in terms of the build-up. But what United needed more was they needed to move the ball a little bit quicker. So all in all, I'm not going to sit here and criticise any performances because honestly, it does not matter at this stage. We want to see certain things, but a lot of games, United played more games than anyone in Europe. Ten Hag's won 40 games now in 59 games. That is really, really good. That is the best out of any United manager in this first season. And United could be sitting here potentially with two trophies and a top four finish, which is a fantastic season. We would have bitten your hand off at the beginning of the season if that was the case. But we do have to probably drill into some of the performances and some of the things for next season, right? So we are building. It's a project. Is this piece working? Is that piece working? Does this player work in this system? This is what we're doing at the minute. I think this is what Ten Hag will be doing. And hopefully with the takeover as well, and there's some release funds. Because United need a cash injection. Because looking at what Ten Hag's got in his squad, I don't think he can do much more personally with what he's got.
No, look, we are exactly where we want to be. You know, if you'd written this at the start of the season and said, yep, you win the League Cup, a decent run in Europe, but, you're in the top four, going into the final two games and it's all within your control. You're not looking over your shoulder. You can just get on with your job playing, obviously, Chelsea and Fulham. You would absolutely have taken that. And I think Ten Hag's had a great season so far until you get the top four. Because if you come fifth, then it doesn't really matter. But you are where you want to be and you deserve the credit for that. This is not about luck. This is about affecting games and making sure that you win enough football matches and be good in those games. As you said here, it's quite interesting kind of what we try to do in the masterclass, and obviously people that have watched before, but if you're watching for the first time, what we do is we kind of do assess the past, but we don't live in it. Yeah. So we know what has happened in the past. We try and look at the present and how things are working, and then try and give you a little bit of prediction for the future and what some of these players need to do. So we'll do a little bit of that today. But you can see here, like Bournemouth, you're right. Bournemouth had, I think, maybe the better chances overall. But I think United defended really well. I think the back four did their job. Wan-Bissaka's been great, I think, at right back. You know, people might say he's not the most progressive player, but I think he's getting better at that. Defensively, very good. And Luke Shaw as well. Yeah, I said a few weeks ago, Luke Shaw being at centre-back, the issue isn't Luke Shaw being at centre-back. The issue is Luke Shaw not being at left-back. So the fact that he was at left-back yesterday, his ball progress was fantastic. And even without, you know, Rashford on the left, which I think is the big key for Luke Shaw to be good, to have someone who drifts in and allows that space on the outside, Luke Shaw still does Luke Shaw things. So really good defensively, but so good progressing the ball going forward. So United had, I think, a good game in terms of controlling it. They were never behind in this game, of course, which is why you don't have to quicken the tempo. But I think it does show that maybe next season, if you play any possession-based football like this, you're probably going to need more ball players in your team or in your ranks or on your bench to be able to move the ball effectively. United did move the ball yesterday, but my God, it was very slow. It did feel like a Sunday stroll in hot weather at the end of a season where two teams are not really playing for much. Then again, Man United are still playing for quite a lot.
Absolutely. And Rob, you can see here something we're talking about off camera, and I'm sure many people will be saying this as well. Mate and I need a number nine. They are creating opportunities. Last week when we did the show for Wolves, United created a lot of opportunities. One of the biggest frustrations is this. Massive, massive, massive that United got the goal early yesterday. That was huge. I believe within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But City go and steamroller teams, and they go and put three past you in the first 20 to 30 minutes. They finish the game. Arsenal have done that a few times this season. Liverpool used to do that in the past as well. That's where United need to get to now. They can't be sitting here holding on to the 1-0 lead. Last week against Wolves, Garnacho came on and obviously sealed it in the 90th minute. And yesterday, you know, it was there were a few moments near the end. You're a little bit touch and go. And this is where United need to improve. So you can see here, they are creating opportunities. While yesterday didn't feel like there was many clear-cut ones, throughout the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, I'd say, you know, I think since after the Carabao Cup, where United's performances have been up and down, they have created chances to win games. The West Ham game is the only one I'm thinking we didn't really create very much, and we didn't deserve anything from that. But they're just not putting the ball away. And then that allows teams to come back into it. So that killer instinct, that ruthlessness is something which I think comes with a top world-class number nine. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the number nine segment. But have you got anything to add to that before we move on?
No, I think the main thing is that it's kind of this discrepancy in the metric of what is a chance and what's a big chance. So United don't really create a lot of big chances that they have over the season. So when you look at it, I think they're only third behind Liverpool and Man City in terms of creating those big opportunities. I think when you look at this game, it never really felt that United were in control of that part of the game in terms of the creative outlets, that they could just have whatever they wanted in the final third. It never really felt like that. It was always, you know, a half chance, or, you know, Antti would get the ball and mess it up, or Sancho would make one extra too many passes, or Bruno's coming for the 10, not finding that final pass to Martial. So there was a lot of that. And I think that's defined United's season over the last few weeks. And that hasn't helped maybe some of the fringe players, like someone like Weghorst, who I think needs much better service in and around, say, the penalty spot to be able to get his chances off, because he needs big chances to score goals. I think that's the truth. We haven't got a striker that can just kind of do it like that. I think the only person that done that this year has been Marcus Rashford, kind of creating solo goals on his own in transition. But of course, without Marcus, I think it shows in this kind of game that you are weak in the final third.
Rob, I'm going to bring up Casemiro. Lovely picture here. It's a fantastic goal. You know, as you mentioned, Christian Eriksen really instrumental in getting forward and playing that beautiful ball over the top. One of the Bournemouth players, you know, obviously got a touch on it. And Casemiro with a fantastic striker-like finish. Good performance for Casemiro yesterday, I thought. You know, he has his form has dropped off the cliff. And it's been a little bit worrying, I think, in the sense of, it's not as if he's played loads of games, because he's missed 8 Premier League games through not playing, obviously, with his suspensions. So in my head, I'm thinking, you know, is it an age factor, a decline, whatever it is? I mean, he has mentioned several times as well that, you know, this is a very physical league. This is so much more physical and fast and the tempo is just much, much higher than it is in the La Liga. So I think maybe it's just an adjustment, obviously. He's not the youngest, but great to see him back, you know, kind of getting amongst the goals. I thought he had a good performance. He was solid. And look, job done. He stepped up when it mattered, and it was a fantastic finish.
Yeah, he had a good game. Really, really good finish. You know, instinctual to just kind of read where that ball was and kind of scissor kick it into the back of the net. You can see here, this looks like an old spot the ball competition, doesn't it? Where is the ball? And the goalkeeper doesn't know where it is either. So as long as it goes in the back of the net, that's all really you're worried about. But you're right. His form overall in last week's, I described it as well as dropping off a cliff, because he was so good before that. And then the ban came and then his form dropped and people were saying, oh, well, maybe it's because like he had an 8-week rest or 8-game rest. And it's like, it should actually be the other way. You want to rotate, don't you? So I think Casemiro, he needs a summer of rest, and then he needs to get in the gym and get the cardio going, because he needs to keep this engine running. And he said it right. You said he's looked at the Premier League and said that he's tired. He said it, I'm tired. And his performances look tired. He managed it better yesterday, Haydar, because United are playing a much slower pace. Just as simple as that. He's a technical player. He can do some of the stuff on the ground. But it was much more notable yesterday that both Eriksen and Casemiro as a pairing had a better game. And United could play something more similar to a 4-2-3-1, because there was no press, as I said, until Weghorst came on. And if Casemiro and Eriksen are sitting there as the 6 and the 8, they've both got to be perfect. You can't sit deep and give the ball away or be sloppy or not read the play. And what you saw yesterday is Eriksen and Casemiro kind of did all those three areas as central midfielders, which helped United keep a stranglehold on proceedings.
And it's no surprise that those who were the top performing players for United, and United won the game, and United did control the game in general. And it was a good professional performance on those two experienced players that United needed to step up in the final few games of the season to bring their experience and the know-how. And I think they both did a good job yesterday. Let's talk about Eriksen now as well, Rob. Let's touch on him, because we did talk about the improvements. Now, I'm going to pick out a couple of statistics where I felt there was an improvement. I know that, you know, you might look at different areas, but I think just what is fantastic for him is that, and we know this with him, is his pass accuracy, 92%. It's what you expect from someone of his position, his caliber, playing in midfield. United, you know, in the past haven't had great ball retention in midfield and accuracy, and I think that was impressive for me. I'm going to bring out the ground jewels as well, 1-7 out of 11. I just think in some of the away games we've seen when Eriksen has started, and this is why sometimes I've been more in favour of playing away, play Fred, because Fred will be more combative. He can get around the pitch a little bit more. But Eriksen was really good. I think he won the ball back a few times that I noticed, and then he started the attacks. And I thought it was a really good performance. And we've missed him massively, obviously, in the time that he was out injured, and it's great to have him back. I do think he's another player that might need to be managed as well in terms of minutes. But United need quality, like-for-like quality. You know, if he's out the team or Casemiro's out the team, they need to have players that can come in that can do, one, a similar function. That's seriously, seriously important, because I think in the past, one of the issues with Ollie is that, you know, if a player came out, he wanted players with different profiles, right? Came in, but that doesn't allow the continuity, especially if a manager like Ten Hag has a rigid philosophy and his principles. So I think that's important. And I think, you know, maybe there's opportunities to see him a bit further forward, because you saw him get further forward. And while I still think Bruno Fernandes is the number one, number 10, it'd be good to see Bruno get a rest and to see maybe Eriksen, who can offer something a little bit different going forward. So I think that Eriksen had a really good performance. But I think he needs to be managed going into next year, just because I want to see him fresh and doing things that he's good at rather than playing week in, week out. I think he's a great player, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think as well, like when you know, talking about that metric there about ground jewels won, you know, it's good. You want your number 8 to win ground jewels. I think the most important thing, though, for this Manchester United team is that someone in the team keeps the ball, because there's still too many people who kind of lose the ball flippantly or lose the ball in a kind of laissez-faire way where you think to yourself, hang on a second, you've only just got to kind of think there, put your foot on the ball, and go backwards if you want to. Now, Man United did that overall pretty well. I think they kept control of the ball pretty well. But what Eriksen gives you in there, I think, is a massive brain. And you're right. I do think next season, what you need to do is you need to go and buy another midfielder that can maybe partner up with Casemiro in this kind of 6-8 role. But you also need another midfielder that can do proper box-to-box stuff. And United do lack that. We've seen Bruno this year kind of playing that 6-8 and doing it pretty well when he's been there. Ironically, you know, I've been calling for Bruno to play the 10 much more, and Bruno's worst performances in the last maybe 2-3-4 games have come from playing the 10. So I don't think you've got much choice in there. Like, I still think Bruno is by far the best number 10, But next season, if you were in a similar scenario and you bought your midfielder, you could play Eriksen in the 10. Eriksen, who's got one of the best assist records of any midfielder in Premier League history. So, you know, you could use him in that kind of facility if you have, say, a proper number 9 doing it, or maybe a proper number 8, and then you can kind of shake around things and Bruno maybe doesn't have to play every minute. But I think it was good that kind of Eriksen turned up for this game, because the last few games, I think he's found it hard coming back from his injury. Just looked like, to me, stepped up that little bit of fitness, which is normal. I think 2, 3, 4 games back in after a bad injury, you just get that back, that feeling. And I think with Eriksen, it's so good to have someone in there who gets the ball and isn't rushed. Because I still do think that some of our senior players, talked about Bruno there, still rushes when he's got the ball. And then other times plays too slow, dilly-dallies on it, gets tackled. So you need an Eriksen. You need a metronome in there who goes, do you know what? There's nothing on in front of me. I just Cruyff turn backwards. And I'm going to give the ball to Varane. And we'll do a little bit of one touch to each other. And then I'll go again. And that's what you need in that position. So I think United need some more young legs next season at the number 8. And that will be something I think they'll aim for. But Eriksen is still a valuable piece. And he obviously shows us now at the end of the season that you really need his creativity and you need his control.
I think it's absolutely spot on. Youthful legs as well. I'm going to bring out a few comments here, Rob, because there's some good ones. There's one from Vincent. I know you and Vincent have been debating Bruno a lot the last few shows that we've done or whatever. But he's saying, hey, Bruno, it's poor yesterday. So for once, Rob's view on Bruno is right in yesterday's game. So, Rob, you've got Vincent screaming with you there.
I don't think Bruno was massively poor. I think it's been worse. Like, I think
he annoyed me a little bit yesterday. I think he was giving the ball away too much. He was trying to rush it. You know, remember that one where he had so much space and he was running towards the box and he had like a couple of options. He had Anthony here. I think he didn't pass Anthony because Anthony was not giving very much yesterday. But and then he went for the shot and just blasted over the bar. And I'm like, Bruno, what are you doing? Like that. Yeah, to be honest, I was more frustrated with him yesterday. But you know, then I think
the game plan is United in this kind of game and was in the previous few games is to slow it down. And I think that's where Bruno isn't very good. So when Bruno gets the ball and he slows it down, he wants 7 touches, and of course that helps the opposition midfielder. Now, if you're playing the 6-8. That's a nightmare because you're losing on the edge of your own box. But if you're the 10 and you're a bit further up or wider, it's not so much of a problem. So yesterday when he lost the ball in those areas, I was like, I'm all right with that because it's not going to kill you, not going to do you in transition. And I think with Bruno, as long as he's disciplined in the other parts of his game, I don't mind him losing the ball. But if I'm Ten Hag, I don't like it. And I think this is what we've talked about for weeks, is that Bruno's really good at certain things, but when he does that and dilly-dallies and loses it in bad areas of the park, then you can get really punished quickly in transition. Thankfully, yesterday, that's not really Bournemouth's game. Like, if you're playing a team that plays really well on the counter-attack and got pace, you lose the ball. We've seen Bruno's mistakes this year lead to goals, haven't we? You know, in midfield. But when he's at the other end of the pitch, like he was in this here, in the 4-2-3-1, and he's got Eriksen behind him and Casemiro behind him, we're chill. We're all right. I wasn't so hot on Bruno having a average game yesterday. I think he's had worse games this season than he had yesterday.
Rob, we're going to bring up a few comments here. So Kenneth's saying Rabiot and Højlund are being rumoured to be players we want. How do you assess both of them in mind of Ten Hag's philosophy? And I'm going to just pair this with G-Man's comment here saying, do you think Højlund, Kane, Kim In-jae and Caicedo, Rabiot, I mean, we don't need a big budget here, G-Man, but maybe Frimpong is a good window. You've named some good players here. I just want to make a quick comment on Højlund, because I think we should do a player analysis show here on Rob, so that's something that I'm looking to do with the next expert from the Italian market. But when I've watched him play every time, I mean, he scores all type of goals. I think that's one of the most impressive things about him. He's so comfortable on the ball. You know, Atalanta do play under Gasperini, do play a possession-based and pressing system. And when you're looking at how United should build the squad, I think this is really, really important, because I still think Harry Kane should be number one, but United probably need 2 number nines. That's why I've liked the idea of someone like Evan Ferguson from Brighton. You go and sign a Harry Kane and then you go and bring in a player. United need to squad build smartly like City have done. You know, you've got Haaland, you've got Alvarez. This is how you're going to compete with someone like City. So when I'm having a look at the number nine position, too many times we've gone for the older option and then we haven't had anyone else. I probably would get rid of Martial if you can shift him off the books. I wouldn't keep Weghorst, and I would go and get 2 number nine. So I think it shouldn't be a case of Højlund and Kane, as G-Man is saying. I think you should, a top club who has the funds should be going and getting both and fixing that position for years and years to come. And then you can manage Kane's minutes as well. And that's what Pep's been able to do with Haaland. is that he's managed Haaland's mix. We looked at Haaland at Dortmund. We thought, yeah, maybe he's a little bit injury prone, but I mean, he's hardly had any injuries this year. And Alvarez is just, I mean, a World Cup winning number nine. When I have a look at some of these other players, well, Rabiot, does he really, is he exciting? No, but I think that it makes sense if you're maybe getting rid of someone like McTominay again, but he's an older age profile. You know, you're looking towards 28, 29, 30. United need more youth. The player that I think United really should be looking at, you mentioned someone that can, you know, play the eight role with Casemiro and maybe push Eriksen forward at time. That is Caicedo for me. He can play six, he can play eight. We've seen him play, obviously, as a right back on De Zerbi. I think if United are going for any midfielder in the summer, it has to be Moises Caicedo. I think everything that he can do in terms of on the ball defensively, he's at box-to-box profile as well, and his age profile. And it would be an absolute shame if he goes to someone like Arsenal. If they upgrade and go and get Caicedo and Declan Rice, I mean, they've got that midfield sorted for years and years to come. So I think there's some good players mentioned there. I think United should go for Højlund and Kane, personally. I think Kim should come in, and Caicedo would be the option for me. I know I'm playing a little bit of fantasy football here, but I think when you're looking at the right profiles that United need to bring in, all of these players elevate your ceiling when it comes to being able to play possession-based football and playing on the ball.
Yeah, look, City had it right when they signed Haaland and they signed Alvarez. The difference is there, Haydo, is that Alvarez cost them about 14 million. So if you're buying someone for your bench who's got a lot of upside, is Højlund going to come to Man United knowing he's not going to play because Harry Kane's there? So I don't think you can pull that one off. That is fantasy football. But I still think the premise of it is that, yes, of course you should sign more firepower because you need it. You haven't got firepower. Harry Kane should not be relied on to just be your only striker or Osimhen, even anyone like that. So if I had the chance, Kane would be number one for me. I've warmed towards Caicedo. He was a player that I thought, say, a year ago, you know, I know he's hot talent. I know obviously United have been in for him before. Can you imagine if you've got him for 4 million? That would have been one of the signings ever. But I do think that you do miss these opportunities. It does happen. He would be one of those players I would look at. Of course, Declan Rice as well. I think different kinds of player. But again, you're getting what you need. You're getting extra kind of midfield nous in there. Kim, I think, is an easy choice. Release clause, go get him and tell Kim you're going to be our starter. Like, I thought Varane was really good yesterday, but Varane's body has cheated Man United for the whole of the last year. And we can't go into this next season with a centre-back whose health cheats you. You can't. Your catchphrase, Haydar, what is it about health? It's a superpower. Do you know what I mean? So Varane doesn't have that superpower. So I think someone like Kim would be perfect for that. You know, someone who can play left and right. Gives you a lot more options in there. I think when you kind of look at what Man United need, we'll do many more shows on this kind of through the summer. You look at Rabiot. Rabiot's had a really good season at Juve, but Rabiot would come with a ton of baggage with his mum, because his mum's a nightmare as his agent. And I think the age for me is not the issue. It would be the wage, because if he leaves Juventus, he will want a huge wage. And he'd probably demand to be in your top five earners at Man United. And I don't think he deserves that, not at all. Otherwise, I think he stays at Juve. I don't think there's that. So I think that's the thing with Rabiot. Rabiot doesn't upgrade you significantly enough, but I think someone like Caicedo absolutely does. Even if you have to pay 80 million for him or something real top value, I think he's had an incredible season at Brighton. And his versatility means that he's a player that's always going to find his way into your 11.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, look, you're seeing McAllister probably off to Liverpool as well. I know that there was United retained some interest there. Unfortunately, look, with the issues in terms of the takeover, we're not going to go into details, but it hasn't happened yet. I think that's a little bit of a worry going into the summer, Rob, to be honest. You know, if this isn't wrapped up, this will set United back, in my opinion, and not being able to get your business, not necessarily done early, but be able to plan your business. Because right now, Ten Hag won't know what the budget is. And it's very frustrating when you see the progress we have made and to have this ridiculous, annoying circus, I'm going to call it, I nearly swore there, circus going on in terms of what's happening and the way the Glazers are kind of acting with this through this whole process as well. It's very frustrating when you look from a footballing perspective. I don't want to talk about who is going to be. I've got my opinion, you've got yours, and I'm sure every listener does. But it's frustrating in terms of when we have some good foundations here to build off. We can see where the gaps are in the squad. And I think that's great to see as well. We know where the issues are. So we know, and we also know what players could be identified, and we could now attract them with Champions League football. Liverpool are out of the Champions League, and they're probably going to get McAllister, a player that I think would have been really good at number eight role for United.
They're not out of Champions League yet. Don't say this stuff.
Okay, but you know what I'm trying to say.
God. Like, this is why do football fans do this to themselves? It's just mad. Look, it's only frustrating to football fans if you let it be frustrating to you. So let's put it in brass tacks very, very quickly. Ten Hag absolutely knows he's going to have money to spend one way or the other, whoever the owner is, whether it's your preferred choice, whether it's the Qatari bid, whether it is Sir Jim, or even the Glazers. The Glazers have spent lots of money. United will spend money this summer. The manager, I don't think, is as worried about it all as fans are. Fans get worried because you read the papers or you see what was said in the press. And of course, it sways opinion, doesn't it? Man United are going to be signing footballers this summer. Don't worry about it. That will happen. And I don't think that Ten Hag himself feels that there will be any... See, even when this carries on, is that eventually whoever it is pulling the purse strings will execute these things because they have to. They've got no choice. United are not going to have a summer where they spend no money. It's not going to happen. You know, they're going to have money to spend. It just depends whether you have a lot of money, like 300 million to spend, or whether you're spending 150 million, one or the other. So, as you said, people have their own choices on that. Fans shouldn't really worry about that at this stage.
We'll see what happens, Rob. I mean, look, there's a couple of games left. We've got the FA Cup, but United, you know, if they can have a really good summer, like, I'm positive going into next season as well. Let's talk Jadon Sancho, Rob. There's a comment here from Ken saying, I also noticed that Sancho was so slow in tracking back, which is frustrating. Yeah. Don't you think he'll be gone after next season? We have a graphic up here. If you listen to this on Apple or Spotify, from Statman Dave, we're gonna go through the numbers. But actually, Rob, some of them aren't correct. So I think it's interesting to point them out. So 86% pass accuracy, 24 final third passes, 9 ball recoveries, 5 out of 5 ground duels won. That was the incorrect one. He actually won 4 out of 4 duels completed, 2 key passes, tidy. I'm not disagreeing with you just to make a show of it. I know we spoke off air about this quite briefly. I actually think that, look, no one was outstanding yesterday, really. I thought the two midfield players, Casemiro and Eriksen, were the standouts, really. Lindelof had a good game as well. But when you have a look at Sancho, I think, he was tidy, I think, in the final third without being spectacular. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a terrible game. I think what frustrates me around Sancho is that, people are expecting... I am expecting more from him. I'm not saying I'm not expecting more from him. He needs to influence impact games more. And we'll talk about Garnacho as well, because we saw what happened when he came on. He impacts games. But I think with Sancho, maybe I'm taking into account what's been happening off the pitch, and I'm just kind of giving a bit more patience in that respect. Can he be better? Yes. Do we want to see him to be a bit more explosive and play with more confidence? Maybe not play within himself? Yes. But I thought yesterday, he was tidy and he did his job. He should have pressed better. And I actually agree with Kenneth that he was spot on there. But I think in possession, he linked up quite nicely. You can see as well, 2 key passes. I know that you said off camera, that's not great. I don't think anyone in United's attacking front four were particularly good. So, decent performance, not spectacular, not terrible. And I just don't think it's... I think it's a conversation to have in terms of, is he now at risk of being behind Garnacho? Yes, I would agree with that. But I still think there's a player there. Will it happen? Possibly not. I give him one more year.
Yeah, look, it's a conflicting one because, like, I was thinking a lot about this week with Jadon Sancho. And again, I wanted him to kind of go into this Bournemouth game, have a great game and be one of your match winners, the guy that kind of makes it happen. That's what he's been brought to Man United to do, to give us some magic. Of course, at the moment, United are not really playing that kind of system. It was kind of more keep ball. This is why I kind of look at these metrics and kind of 24 final third passes. Whether that's 2-yard passes out to Luke Shaw, who stood up wider than you, that's a final third pass. What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing. So sometimes I think some of these metrics get you. I think the thing is with Jadon is that I think we've all given him plenty of time. That's nearly 2 years to acclimatise, to sort his life out off the pitch, to do stuff, to be a Man United player. And he is running out of oxygen. He is. So I think when you looked at the game yesterday, he didn't have a bad game. And I think tidy is probably right. He had a tidy game, but he didn't impact much. And I do think that, the ground jewels here, this is where things can be misleading on Twitter, because people will read that and go, oh, that's like brilliant, isn't it? Well, 5 out of 5 ground jewels won is wrong. He lost one really important one. And I think a lot of people have said it in the comments and people have tweeted me about it, where he loses the ball to Smith And Smith gets the ball off him. Jaden's got his back to play or kind of facing De Gea, loses the ball. And then rather than chase Smith back to try and win the ball back, he stands still and watches everything unfold. And Brighton had two really good opportunities in the box because of it. And Jaden could have got back 10 times over to help the defence. Now, the thing is, we know that Jadon Sancho isn't naturally a defensive player, but you've got to do this stuff. I don't care what's going on in your life off the pitch. Run. Run for your team. Run for your teammates. And run for that badge. And I think for Jadon, with that 70 minutes, yeah, he had a tidy game. But that could have been the moment yesterday that meant that we lost that game. It really could have. And we've seen a lot of this from individual players all season long about commitment and whether they can do it. Jadon had an all right football match. But for 75 million, Haydar, coming up to the end of year two, the boy has got to be better. He's not even in the England squad anymore. You know, there's players in the England squad ahead of him who are not as good as him. So what does that mean for Jadon? So I think it's a precarious situation. I tweeted yesterday, you know, I've got no issue with people giving Jadon love and saying, you know, they think he's getting better. I do. I think he has made incremental steps in the last few months. But yesterday, when there's no Rashford, you need Jadon to bring it. You need Jadon to go, right, I'm going to be Borussia Dortmund Jadon Sancho today. I'm going to control some of this. I'm going to help United. He hasn't done that, Haydar, and he's not that player. And I said, thinking about it yesterday, I was thinking, I pushed so hard for Jadon to come to the club. Really did. I was like, he is going to be a superstar.
We both did, Rob.
But we're jokes. So we're jokes. We look like jokes, Haydar, because like he isn't at the moment. And people moan about Antony every single week, and Antony has been 10 times better than Jadon Sancho this year. 10 times. So this is the balancing point now, is that, you know, Garnacho came on the pitch for 20 minutes and Garnacho went, I am here. Watch me. And that's what I want. I want Man United players to have that in their game, to go, right, I'm here to impact. Jadon impacted nothing yesterday. He got hooked. And I was quite pleased because I thought, right, now he's been hooked. United might have some pressing on that side. That's what happened. He suddenly had a press because you had Garnacho running. You had Weghorst come on, took Martial off, obviously, after 55 minutes. That was the right call. Jadon needs to do more, Haydar, because otherwise you're going to get to the summer and you're going to think, well, Garnacho's my guy now. So what do I do with this guy? Is he going to be my next Harry Maguire? Sat on the bench on a load of money? I think so. At the moment, he does not start for me when everyone is fit.
I'm gonna round this off, Rob, so we move on to the next segment. I think you've covered everything that... I mean, there's nothing really for me to add. I think I do agree with it.
Be more, Jadon. Like, be more. That's all we want.
I think my final thing on this, I will say, is that I don't think you just suddenly become a shadow of yourself. I mean, he was 20 goals, 20 assists a season at Dortmund. I know it's a different league, but Rob, I mean, we you know, when we did the shows and we looked at the statistics, yes, the Bundesliga is a little bit easier, I think, and you've seen a lot of players come. Mkhitaryan was another player that looked unbelievable. I mean, look, he's going into a Champions League final, so, you know, he seems to be doing all right in Italy. But I just don't think you're that good and then you become that bad. Like, I just don't see, but maybe he's one of those players where the Premier League's not for him. He's a great talent, but maybe he's just not suited to the Premier League, and he's maybe suited to a league maybe with less, let's say, changes in tempo, you know, where you have to be explosive and then you know that sort of thing. And maybe he hasn't gotten that in his game, so maybe that's it, really, rather than he's just not a talented player.
Yeah.
Because you're not that good and then suddenly become this bad. But I do think you have to take into account what is going on off the pitch, because clearly it was a big issue for Ten Hag to tell him to just take time off and obviously go to Holland and work on his game, etc. So, you know, we do have to take these things into consideration when talking about the players.
But don't get caught on the ball like that and then not run back. Like, that's it. Like, I've got everyone's sympathy, you know, about mental health and all these things. I've talked about it extensively in my career, especially in football. But ultimately, Jadon, in those moments you're picked, you can't decide not to run. No one can decide that. You have got to run and push and be hard and be harder in those moments and have a higher standard. And to me, that's what it's about, Haydar. It's about standards. And we don't tolerate for any player. Like, if you play, great. But if you can't play because you can't do it, then you won't play. And I think that Jadon's the natural one to now get pulled out for Chelsea. If Marcus is fit, then you probably go with Martial through the middle again and you go with Marcus on the left, because Marcus and Shaw give you a better chance of winning a football match than Jadon does. So I want Jadon just to kind of be better. I want him to kind of feel better. maybe Haidar. You know, someone said to me last week, there was a reason why Pep Guardiola wasn't that fussed about keeping him around. And when he was available again, Pep went, no thanks, not for 75 million, because he went and got players like Alvarez for 14. I think Alvarez would be a more effective player for Man United as a 14 million pound player today than Jadon is. And that's a sad thing to admit.
Yeah, I think the sad thing as well to also think about is at the time United could have got Jack Grealish as well. I know that Villa ended up not getting relegated. And you actually think
I wouldn't want Jack Grealish. I wouldn't want him either. Look, this is the horses for courses, isn't it? Look, he's had a great season, Jack Grealish, and it's taken him 2 years to get here, right? It's taken him 2 years of real lots of changes in his game to not be flash in the pan Jack Grealish from Villa and to be a useful left-sided player who plays every week. And he's played without Foden. Foden's been injured, so there hasn't really been that rotation. I want United to have players like Garnacho. Garnacho costs you nothing, right? You get him in and you say, you wave the bit of meat around in front of their face, Haidar, and you say, go for it. Go for it. Show us what you got. And that's what you need. Not just explosiveness, but self-motivation. So I think Jack Grealish has suffered with that over 2 years. I think it's taken him a long time to finally work out what his place is at City. But he's had a really good, say, post-World Cup, hasn't he? But he wasn't very good at the World Cup, and he was rubbish before the World Cup. So I don't think United should be looking at £100 million solutions for Jadon Sancho. You've got other solutions in your team. You don't need Anthony Mark II at 90 million, do you? You just need someone like an Alvarez, like we talked about, who can come in your team and give you a lot of value and help you win football matches.
Yeah, well, look, United have two young players, Garnacho, and they have Amad Diallo, two players I think should be integrated much more. Well, Diallo, for example, you know, I mean, there could be a case, Rob, that we're sitting in next season and we're saying Diallo, Anthony, you know, honestly, we could be saying exactly the same conversation because...
Correct, yeah.
And I think that's a good thing as well. Obviously, Pellistri is another player I think I would like to see him get more minutes. Every time Pellistri came on, he made an impact. So United have some really good young players. It's about... Definitely. I think the biggest thing about Ten Hag, and we talked about this when we did, you know, obviously the show before Ten Hag joined, is that he won't just select a youth player just based on the fact that they're talented. And this is why, which is even more impressive, I think, with Garnacho, is that Garnacho is obviously shown something in training and he shows it in games. And he's got this this great mentality and fearlessness that I love from young players. You usually see that come through, the top ones that come through United. I think Marcus was the same when he joined. And I think that's just what we're kind of missing from Jadon, which is unfortunate.
And it's also young players knowing that they're good. So Garnacho knows that he's good. Garnacho's like, look at me. I got picked to play for Argentina when I was just a boy. And look at me. And I'm in Man United's team. So that breeds confidence. And that's why a lot of the stuff about Garnacho at the start of the season was hot air about him not kind of doing stuff in training and all that. I think he was just trying to find his feet. But, you know, as it stands, as I said there, I think that if Rashford is your automatic left-sided player to start the season next year, and I think he will be, of course he will be, then it's Garnacho on the left, and on the right, it's Anthony, isn't it? And then Anthony plus one might be Amad Diallo. What do you do with Jadon? You're done, aren't you? You don't get any games. You probably don't even get on the bench some weeks. So that's not good. And I think that it becomes then a kind of fight of diminishing returns again about, you know, do you sell at a decent price or do you give him another year, let him fail again? Then what are you going to get for this £75 million player? The truth is, there'll be a lot of takers for Jadon Sancho, but not at the standard we're talking about. Not top four, not even maybe top six. You might be kind of a piece in a Tottenham rebuilding project or something like that. Could you use Sancho to go and get Kane or something like that? There are things here that we've not talked about yet, which might end up happening because I think Jadon Sancho is a very attractive player, but the truth is he's not really helping you win football matches. That's the sad truth. I don't like admitting it, but that is where you are today. Let's hope that changes.
Rob, let's move on to Anthony Martial. So a lot of talk about Martial. Yeah, it's a great photo here. This is a photo from Sports Bible. You can see see his reaction to getting subbed off at 55th minute. There was a lot of reports. I don't know if it's true or not. So maybe you can confirm this, that he went down the tunnel, but he did come back on the bench. I think Ten Hag did say that. I was a little bit surprised to see him come off, but you know, I also saw that it wasn't his greatest game. You know, we did talk about the off the ball work. United weren't really pressing with him up front. Weghorst came on. Weghorst can't seem to hit a barn door, to be honest. He had a great chance. He should have buried that, let's be honest, Rob. He hit it straight at the goalkeeper. But what Weghorst does give you is he does give you that off the ball work. Are you not going to, should United keep him? No, I don't think so. You know, he's just a player to do a job. But when him and Garnacho did come on, United immediately, the pressing and kind of the off the ball work was much more cohesive and was much better.
Totally. And I disagree. I think 55 minutes was about enough for Martial yesterday. You know, for me, again, when you've got a shortage of strikers, I said a few weeks ago, you've got to push Martial through the pain barrier now. So whatever his issues are, he needs to play in minutes. This is just his job. And if he's fit and he can train, he's got to play. That's as simple as that. And if he gets injured because of that, tough. At the end of the season, you're trying to get top four. That is what's important. A player's health in that moment is not what you have to be focused on. I think yesterday with Martial, the issue was with United kind of playing at times, switching from this 4-2-3-1, which became more defined like a 4-5-1 at times. Like United were spreading the pitch and looking after territory, and they did that quite well. Is that you then need your striker just to kind of move around and do a little bit more, just a little bit more. Not be mad in the press, but just be available in other parts. Tag team up on left and right sides at times. And I don't think he did that well yesterday. People, again, very easy to kind of hit him with the kind of lazy banner, isn't it? Oh, he's lazy. Well, I think all you can assess it is that he didn't have a good game. And after 55 minutes, it was pretty evident United needed some more energy on the pitch. You know, that Bournemouth started to grow in the game, I think, in the last half an hour. And that's when they had a lot of their chances. So for me, Martial would still start the next two games as a striker. But if it's not working, then you pull him. And that is the right way to do it. Because as you said, Weghorst can't score. But Weghorst came on in the 70th minute, you say, Haidar, and was a big reason why you didn't concede a goal. A big reason. Because he was pressing and working and harrying and making Bournemouth go sideways and sideways and running the clock. So you need that sometimes. So again, Weghorst earning his money. Like, he doesn't score the goal, but he's earning his cash. He's getting you over the line. Anthony Martial, after 55 minutes, this look, obviously went around all the newspapers and kind of like, oh, well. But that's how it works, Tony. You know, if you don't work or doesn't work for you, mate, you get hooked. So he sat on the bench a lot this year. It's up to him now in his next two games against Chelsea and Fulham to put the ball in the net. He hasn't really as well, Haidar. You talked about affecting games and Weghorst not being able to score. Martial didn't look like scoring yesterday. So they both are the same. So would you prefer one of them to press or not? So I think that's the kind of way that Ten Hag looks at this. Do not be surprised if Weghorst starts against Chelsea, because I think if Martial doesn't give you the value in the box or in and around the box, then you have to make those choices. I think the better thing, Haidar, is that if you've got Rashford left and Bruno at 10, then I think Martial's better. And I think that's it. He had Bruno behind him yesterday. I didn't really see Martial getting in the channel or getting behind. Couple of nice touches, but the look on his face, I think, is probably how his manager felt when he hooked him after 55 minutes.
Yeah, I think you still saw him, Rob, to be honest, against Chelsea. And
just because you've got not anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Rob, you know, but do not be finished. Surprised if it's Weghorst. Like, when people will go, No, Weghorst is starting. But the manager might think, well, I don't want to lose this game. I need a point. So I'm going to press today. I'm not going to create, but you know, and I'll take that because Martial hasn't got the fitness or dexterity or whatever you want to call it to get me over the line. So do not be surprised if he starts against Chelsea in this upcoming game on Thursday.
We will see. Rob, let's finish with David De Gea. Let's just have a couple of minutes on him, because I think I have to acknowledge, congratulations as well. He won the Golden Glove, which is quite crazy to think, because when you think about some of the huge defeats United had this season, I mean, but taking those totally big four games out, you know, you think about City away, Liverpool away, Brentford away, and there was another one as well, I think, where we had a heavy defeat. But when you take those bad performances out, United have actually been very good defensively. And when you look at kind of the trio of De Gea, Martinez has been a revelation, and obviously Rafa Varane before they got injured, you know, they were building a very, very nice, solid foundation for United. We know the issues with David De Gea. I think United need to upgrade on him. But you have to give him his dues. Second Golden Glove now. And he was instrumental yesterday. You know, people can criticize his ability on the ball, maybe his commanding of his area, which I don't think is as big of an issue. I think the on the ball and his passing range, and you know, he's just consistently hitting it long, and then United have to fight for those 50-50s. But he saved United yesterday with four very key saves, especially that late one, I think it was against Kiefer Moore. So fantastic for David De Gea. If this is his last season at Man United, it's a great way to go out. And he deserves all the plaudits. Him, Martinez and Varane, up until Martinez and Varane's injuries, they were fantastic for United. And a real solid foundation for Ten Hag to build on his first season.
Yeah, congratulations to David De Gea. Again, a much maligned player. We know what he's not good at. And I think people have been talking about it, Haider, for 10 years. Like, this is not a new subject around David De Gea's feet or his distribution. You know, he talked yesterday about winning the Golden Glove. He's very happy. It's the second time in his career he's won the Premier League Golden Glove. And for me, when everyone has been fit, and United had that period, I think, mainly post-World Cup up until very recently, before Martinez got injured, that those three, him, Varane, and Martinez, were and De Gea, were able to kind of create a solid foundation in going into matches. And you will be able to go into games thinking that you could get clean sheets. Now, that's why he's won this Golden Glove. And I think the glove represents those three players as much as it represents De Gea. I would still, for me, go for David Raya. So there was still, I put that on Twitter yesterday, and a few people were like, oh, I don't know if he's good enough. David Raya was outstanding against Spurs yesterday. Outstanding. The performance that he put in there, both individually with some of the saves, but his distribution, his all-round work as a goalkeeper. You know, he saved that game for them. So Brentford win 3-1. And Tottenham fall down the table a little bit more. But it comes down to goalkeepers quite often, doesn't it? So De Gea yesterday against Bournemouth, one or two really big saves, especially late in the game as well, where there was one where he's kind of one-on-one and he just stands firm and he just puts his leg to the side. I think De Gea's one of the best in the world at that, saving with his feet. He's always been really good at reactionary kind of save and reading the ball. And David De Gea, whether you like him or not, will probably be Man United's number one next year. I think it'd still be a surprise if United go and buy a goalkeeper when we're talking about all these other positions. Do you know what I mean? We're talking about, like, you know, are you going to buy a centre back? You need another midfielder. You definitely need number 9. Will he get a number 10? Well, there isn't infinite money. Money will be spent, but I still think that goalkeeper is just that little bit further on down the list as it stands. And De Gea's got a right with the Golden Glove to say to the manager, give me a new contract. Give me some more time. I can get better at these things. Then it's up to Ten Hag, isn't it? It's up to Ten Hag to say, I categorically need a sweeper keeper. So goodbye, David, and let me go and get one. But he's not saying that. And I keep saying this every week. The manager isn't saying that. And De Gea has now got this Golden Glove, which proves he's not the worst goalkeeper in the world. Man United fans go on like he is the worst goalkeeper you've ever seen. And yeah, his distribution is not good and he does make the odd mistake. But do you know what? He's got more clean sheets than Edison, and he's got more clean sheets than Alisson, and he's got more clean sheet than Ramsdale, and he's won this Golden Glove. And he deserves it. I think he deserves some praise and some love.
He definitely does, but I'd have to disagree. I think goalkeeper is much higher, should be much higher up on the priority. When you think about, you know, the podcast we did, for example, I did with Joe from about Kim, something that really stood out. This is kind of forward thinking, but, you know, if someone like Kim comes in, I mean, very aggressive, very proactive, defends on the front foot. Martinez is the same. You need a keeper that's going to come off his line then when you're playing with those type of centre-backs.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I think one of the reasons why United have lacked control in games is the fact that they, you know, in a lot of games, De Gea, especially when we played the way, he's not been great, I think, passing out from the back. And I think he's gone long. And then United have to win those 50-50s. And that's, it's like we said this last podcast, but it's what De Zerbi also said, you know, going long, obviously, there's less control and it's more risky, let's say, to win the ball back than if you're playing out the back, hence why Steele has now replaced Robert Sanchez at Brighton. And I think I subscribe to that. And I think if Ten Hag wants to be able to play Ten Hag football, then he has to bring in a keeper. There might be a keeper not as good in those one-on-one situations as David De Gea, but I think a goalkeeper who's better with his feet. Diego Costa, for me, is the one that United should be going for. I mean, his numbers are outstanding, Robin. I think there's definitely a case for us to do a show on that going into summer and drill into him more. But I think...
So tell me, just tell me very quickly. So jump in. Just jump in, right. So tell me why the manager is not demanding that. I want to know. Wait, like you said, Ten Hag needs this.
Playing.
So you say Ten Hag wants to play out from the back because he's a Dutch coach. He wants to play out from the back, and we all see everything you just said. We all see it. Everyone knows it. Even people who love De Gea absolutely know he's rubbish with his feet compared to other goalkeepers. So why is the manager not saying, right, my number one priority is the striker, and my number two priority is the goalkeeper? So I have to play out from the back. Because at the moment, the goalkeeper
he's not saying anything, though. He's not like...
We know from the club what United are targeting. We do know. So we know what the club are targeting. We know that the club are targeting a striker. They're making no hiding that at all. And they're looking for a midfielder. They now really want Kim. They've done that. They've looked at him for ages. So why is it that a centre-back is ahead of the goalkeeper. So these things, you see, they do matter. Like, fans have their opinion, no problem with that. And we all kind of agree. This is the weird thing about it. What I want to know is why the manager doesn't think it. Why is the manager, people say Ten Hag needs this, and Ten Hag ain't doing that. Ten Hag's keeping De Gea and giving him a contract. This is what's happening. So I don't think that a manager in their right mind would do that unless they were comfortable with it. They really wouldn't. So I think that this is also,
isn't the contract also reduced terms, though? It's not the same wage.
It's reduced terms. But I don't think managers care about that. I don't think managers go, oh, I've got to think about my wage bill this week. They look at players. So they look at what the player gives them. So I would go get David Raya, because I think Raya is fit for purpose. Yeah, that's the kind of player I think you can get. And he's going to be running out of his deal. So United might look at something like that. Man United, as it stands, are saying they are not going to sign a goalkeeper in the summer. They're saying it. So the fact is that we can have opinions about these things, but De Gea has been we've talked about his feet for 10 years. Like, it really is. And the boys just won the Golden Glove and the manager wants to give him a new contract. So all the stuff we talk about, it kind of makes no sense at all, because the one person that really matters, it's not you, Haydar, it ain't me, it ain't the fans. It's the manager. The manager is saying, I want this guy to be my number one next year. So this is the bit where we can debate it till we're blue in the face and United Twitter just doesn't stop. But the truth is that the manager is not putting that out there. He's not saying, I want a new goalkeeper at the moment. It's weird. I agree, it's weird. But the manager doesn't want a new goalkeeper at the moment. United are not fishing in those waters. They're looking for a centre-back. They're looking for a midfielder. They're looking for a striker. And goalkeeper's like way down the list. They're not actively scouting a goalkeeper. And then you've got the Henderson question. Do you just go with Henderson, bring Henderson back and make him compete with De Gea? Because you could do, because he's under contract. We know that ain't going to end well. You know, we know Henderson doesn't want to do that. So why would you go that route? So let's see what happens. Like I said, I agree with you. Costa would be great at 60 million. But if you've got to buy another player for 60 and a striker for 100 and a midfielder for Casilla costs you 80. Fantasy football is not how the business works. This is a business. It's about money as well. And I think the manager looks at it that way. I think that's why we're not seeing United go actively looking for a goalkeeper. When you've got one that will cost you 200 grand a week or something like that, I don't think the manager's too bothered about the wage structure. I think that comes down to the owners.
We'll just have to see what happens, Rob. But guys, thank you for listening. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Turn on those notifications as well. There'll be a lot more player analysis shows going on, going into the transfer window. You can give Rob a follow on at Rob_B and give me a follow or Main Night MC to keep up to date with the podcast. What I do want to say as well, guys, is when we do these shows, make sure to drop us a note to say what you would like to see as well. We want to try and make sure we're making content that you guys want to see. So Rob, you got anything to add to that as well?
Yeah, totally. Look, this is ultimately your show at the end of the day. When we do all these things and player analysis, we do that because obviously, you know, in whatever information I get from Manchester United and around the football club, we can kind of steer the ship towards certain players because we know that United are interested. But also, please do tell us the players you're interested in. Like, again, looking at the comments here today, there's been a load of players that people have brought up. We're about to enter silly season, meaning that the transfer window is here. Someone said last week, it's only a week now and the summer begins. So the season ends and we'll be talking about brand new players. Man United are going to make signings, Haydar, whether they are under Qatari ownership, Radcliffe, or even the Glazers still remaining, which, fingers crossed, let's hope the Glazers are not in control anymore come the end of the summer. But United are targeting certain positions and we kind of know what they are at the moment. So wait and see, but please tell us which positions you'd like us to look at, because maybe we could do shows on that, Haydar, as well, of kind of breaking it down and maybe looking at what Manchester United's needs and questioning why Ten Hag doesn't want a goalkeeper.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Two more games now for United. 1 point needed. Hope you get the Champions League. We'll see you all next time.